And we're in the middle of the Lamaisa, the actual bris. We had dealt with other things earlier. Now we're dealing with the bris itself. And we are up to Sif Ches. Now we dealt in Sif Zayin with the Shechianu and the difference in Minhagim. The Ramah said that we don't make a Shechianu. The Shulchan Aruch says we do. The Gras says we do. And the Miluim. Somebody, do the photostats have Miluim on the bottom right? On the bottom right of the Gilyan, you don't have it in your photostats. I want to tell you the story of the Miluim before I tell you what it says. These Miluim were added by someone who worked in the Vilna printing house, in the Almana Rum, in her printing house. He said, it's a shame, there's some blank space on the bottom of the page. So he stuck things in. He did two things. He stuck in the Miluim in the Shulchan Aruch, and he stuck in what he called the Hametar game in the Shas. You remember the old Shas? He used to have Hametar game. He used to translate the Balaz Rashis into Yiddish. Into Yiddish. The fellow who did this, besides that he did it without permission, also, in Hamola Shigotsim, you know, he was a maskil. He was believed to be a maskil. So Hamola Dika Rishoyim, you know, he stuck in Miluim in the Shulchan Aruch and the Targum in the thing. The Stipel, one of his letters, writes, Agam, we never found anything that he wrote that was wrong. But, you know, he was a maskil. He doesn't really like that it's in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemaras. So all of the new prints of Gemara and Shulchan Aruch have taken out both the Hametargum in Shas, which is the little chance our boys would have had to learn a little bit of Yiddish, you know, by looking at the Hametargum, and the Miluim. What?
The Yiddish
wouldn't do them good, right? Unless they're visiting Austria or Germany. And the Miluim. And these Miluim, for the most part, are interesting because he didn't really write his own Chidushim. He quotes from others. He quotes Chidushim from others. And here he has an interesting Shaila. According to our minhag that we do not do a Shechianu at the Bris, what happens if it's the Moyel's first Bris? Now, I don't think a Moyel would want to announce. I think Shechianu, this is my first Bris.
This is my first Bris.
But a discount on the first Bris, right? So. So honestly, he talks about, it's really a very general shaila. If you make a Shechianu the first time you do a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah haba mizman lizman. It's not a mitzvah that comes on a regular basis. You can do it every day. You can do it never. Like shluach hakein, some people go do shluach hakein. Do they make Shechianu? They don't make Shechianu. Or a lady gets married, she lights her first Shabbos Neiris. She light every week. The first time you light Shabbos Neiris, do you make a Shechianu? Don't you make a Shechianu? A boy puts on tefillin for the first time. Should he be making a Shechianu or not making a Shechianu? So this is a difficult question. We have a rule that you only make a Shechianu on a mitzvah haba mizman lizman, on a mitzvah that comes on a regularly scheduled basis. But the Gra, in saying to make a Shechianu on Bris Milah, says even though there's such a sheet, it's Taisa's sheet, a few places in Shas, but the Gra Tain is that what are you going to do by Pidyan HaBen? We make Shechianu. And Pidyan HaBen is not a mitzvah ba mizman lizman. And everybody makes Shechianu by Pidyan HaBen. It's a Gemara. And therefore the Gra rejects this idea that you only make Shechianu on a mitzvah ba mizman lizman, which in turn would seem to lead to make a Shechianu. I did Kisei Adam the first time in the Shechita house. And I was wondering if I should make a Shechianu or shouldn't make a Shechianu. The best thing is to wear a new baguette. The first time a bar mitzvah boy puts on his tefillin, the first time, usually has a new hat at least. And the first time a woman makes hadlokas neiris, usually during sheva brachas, unless she has a minute to light as a single girl, she very often has new dresses. So the best thing is that when you get in such a situation, to have a new baguette, and that way you avoid the machlaikas. But he does go back and forth on whether to do it. It's not by the author of the Miluim. He's quoting a Sefer Berachas Ma'isha. Adine Shechianu. Okay, let's move on to Sif Ches. Sivches ain't sarel chachasais ervas katan b'shas habracha. Okay, now you all have seen this, that at the time they make the bracha, the erva of the child is open. Ain't sarel chachasais ervas katan b'shas habracha. Why? What would you say? Why don't you have to cover the erva of the katan b'shas habracha? So we have two possible reasons. Either because the child is under nine, and maybe under nine it doesn't matter, or because it's a chefs shal mitzvah. Okay, how could it be a bad thing? Simno yotcha tachas yirechi. Okay. Now it'll be under nine. We'll be the age of nine. We'll see in a second. But there's a big nafkamina. Nafkamina is if your little grandchild is parading around undressed and you want to make a shahakal on something, if you hold under nine, there's nothing. So under nine is fine. If you hold that it's a special din by bris milah, then it's a special din by bris milah. So we take out a Mishnah Berurah. We turn to Siman Ayin Hey Sif Dalet. There it says that there is a difference of opinion between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber, for a change, is the Machmir. Asa likrais keneged erva, afilish loy v'galilim, v'chein keneged ervas katan asur. Also, keneged the erva of a katan, it's asur. Ramah says, yesh matirin neged ervas katan kozman shein eroi labia, which the Mishnah Berurah says, is b'katan ad ben tes, b'katan ad bas gimel. We're talking about the baby, yeah. Nobody else has the erva revealed at a bris. We're talking about the bris milah, right? No, we'll keep running around. The same idea. So the Ramah here says, like the Mechaber, there's generally a problem. The Ramah says that it's mutter, that when Nayig, Aminig is to be makel, the chain ikur, he says, Aminig is to be makel by an erva of a child. That you're allowed to make a bracha facing the erva of a child. The thing is, here it's a mechaber, right? Mechaber here says no. Here the mechaber says yes. So we'll go to the shach. Okay, well, we'll discuss it. Shifer, we cover the shifer, but it doesn't make cause a hefsek. We should put a hand on the shifer. There's a minute that when you make the bracha on the shifer, you cover the shifer. When I started blowing Shifer in Torah Vadas many years ago, they told me to go to Rav Manas Mendel, Olav HaShalom, to find out whatever Menhagim there are. So he said that we have the meaning to cover the Shifer, which is brought in the Ramah, I believe. So I looked around for a reason, very fascinating reason, in the Avdei Nezer, the only one I found. He gives a reason. He says, we know we cover the Chalas by Kiddush, because it's like a busha for the Chalas that you're making a bracha on the wine first. By Shifer, there's a clear in all the Achrayim. If the mitzvah is blowing the Shifer, or hearing the sound of the Shifer. We make a bracha l'shmaya kol Shifer, because we hold that the mitzvah is the Shmiya, not the Tekiya. So the Avnei Nezer says, that's a little bit of a bizayin for the Shifer. Because the Shifer is not the mitzvah, the mitzvah is the kol that comes from the Shifer. Since we're saying a nusach l'shmaya kol Shifer, not atkiya Shifer, so therefore, we cover the shayfer when we make the bracha. It sounds like a reason that came after the minig, right? But at least it's a... What? A talis? What's one thing you have to do with the... Yeah, we don't cover the talis.
Do you cover the talis?
No, we don't, but why should we? Okay, anyway, be that as it may. Getting back here, let's learn the shach yud ches. Now we understand mechaber amah, we'll understand the shach. A bris. Oh, that's true. That would be another nafkamina. That would be a much bigger nafkamina. By bris of a gadol, it would be a much bigger nafkamina, because there you don't have the reason of pachsin ben tes. But if because the chefs of shal mitzvah, you would have a reason. That's a much bigger. Why? Oh, you mean there should be no problem of erva by tefillah? Yeah, here the mitzvah is the. This is the chefs of shal mitzvah. There. Okay. I hear. Let's learn shach yud ches. Ein sarach lechasais. Afilu l'mandi yama baruchai simenayin hei. which was the Meshita of the Mechaber. Mishum Dabina Vayam Hanecha Kadesh. Still. Kivan de Leskune Mila Kasi. Karina Bey Vayam Shapir Vayam Hanecha Kadesh. Einai Oisai Shah Mishum Layir Bacha Eves Davar. Kedekasa Marash. So he says the reason that you have mentioned that now it's a Chefsa Shal Mitzvah, not a Chefsa Shal Erva. And therefore, there's no problem. And then he is gam bekotin kol kach leidenun leiden erva veitzal chasis b'shas bracha kosh kos Rabbeinu Yaina. This Rabbeinu Yaina, which is presumably the source of the Ramah, although here it says Rabbeinu Yeruchim. But anyway, that's the second reason. Gam bekotin so young leidenun leiden erva. I'm not sure. But could he mean that even if under 9 but 8 days old is different? Maybe, I don't know. Well, the father could turn, could really turn to the side, which very often they do for other reasons. But the mayel, it's a little harder. You know, I once saw B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky about washing your hands after you touch. Above your elbow, Zemakim Shederach Lachasai. So if you touch it, you have to wash your hands. What about after you put on the tefillin shel yad? So I saw, I think it's in the Emes Liyakov, the Rabbi Yaakov said, it's not mistaver that the mokum had tefillin should be a mokum tame. Not mistaver, the place you're putting on the tefillin should be a mokum that you have to wash your hands when you touch.
Only when you're putting
on tefillin. So I don't mean it's only when you're putting on tefillin or in general, not to judge from svarim that were written to be printed. But this would be a sort of a makar for it, that something which Mikar Adin would have certain halachas, when it becomes a chefzah shal mitzvah, it has different halachas, yeah, just like
what?
But the shel reish, you're touching your hair, you don't have to wash, and if you scratch your hair, so there's no issue.
The mayel should normally have to wash his hands after touching the place, right?
The mayel doesn't wash his hands after. All right, so at any rate, this is the shaklavataria over this issue. The Ramah here adds, Avol. If the cotton is dirty, then you have to clean off the tzaya from the baby at the time that you do it.
Now,
what's the lashon? One second, the lashon is, let's see, the shach, lashon hashach, and yesh lenakais, you test. Alpha pishe mechikim tzayas cotton, she roi lechol kazayas dagon. Halacha is, the tzaya of a cotton doesn't have it in tzaya until he's able to eat a kazayis of bread, of a wheat product, which I think is about 10, 11 months old. What?
Till
he eats it. Till he eats.
Once he eats it, then the flora and the system becomes...
Let's see what the lashon is. The Shas says, Roy, let's see what it says in Simen Pei Aleph. In Simen Pei Aleph, it says... The lashon mechaber, katan shegia l'chlal. Mechaber says beferish. Katan shegia l'chlal. Sha'achar k'yaitzaba, yochel lechel k'zayiz dagon. Another child this age is able, even though this child never ate it. He has to be able. If you give him formula, if his digestive system is advanced to the point where he can eat bread.
If you give him formula, the formula may have dogon in it, then also you have to be married.
The formula doesn't have dogon because of allergic.
The formula used to have dogon.
Okay. They don't have because of the allergies. Every child could be different. That's why it doesn't say a number. But that's not the point. The point is, even though there's a shear, zaktashach makamakim mutav lenakaisa kaidem abracha. Mutav means it's better. What does it mean? It's better. So the ice priest from the Munkachi writes because of infection. They're going to leave dirt. They're going to leave tzaya around there. It's going to cause damage. So he says that it means, and Shalom is the Munkach's sefer on on Bris Mila. And this is the way he explains
it. It's really not a halachic thing. This is a...
So according to the Abutav, means it's not a halachic thing.
Why not?
It's covered in general, okay. That's, but in Shulchan Aruch it says you can make a bracha, can make that type of tzaya, so you're allowed to. There's an interesting machlokes to Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan regarding Meirag Layim of a child under this age, of a young child. Meirag Layim. Now, the halacha is that min haTorah, you're not allowed to make a bracha against a amud Meirag Layim, against a stream. If someone's urinating, a stream of urine, you're not allowed to make a bracha min haTorah. Midrabanan, even against Meirag Layim that's in the keli. You're not allowed to make a bracha. Sometimes in the hospital rooms you have these shailas. So that Meirag Layim is also. The question is whether that starts at this age as well. The Mishnah Berurah, Simin Pei Aleph, Sivav, says, well, if it's Saya, it starts a certain age, Mishnah Meirag Layim also starts at a certain age. But the Aruch HaShulchan there disagrees in Sivkot and Lamed. He says, Lo Matzina, we don't find such a kula by Meirag Layim. Nevertheless, he says, that's for the Kiluach Meirag Layim, which is in Sederei Aisa. But for the Meirag Layim, Shalei B'Shas Kiluach, he's masking that it's not Mestava, the Rabbanu Magayzer. Children, especially before they had good diapers, they would tend to let Meirag Layim in different places, and therefore he's Mekel until this age. So it's important halacha to know when you have small children, that okay, connect kiluach Meirag Layim. It's rare that somebody would want to make a bracha, but if there is Meirag Layim, very often by a bris, the baby urinates, so it's, when it's open, exposed to the cold, very often the baby urinates, and no one's going to make a bracha while there's a kiluach, but whatever Meirag Layim is around, they wipe it off anyway because they don't want it to be hanging around. But to know the halacha is important. It's a chumra b'alma. Okay, good. Same as the shach. There's one last. Who do we paskin like? Look, the Mishnah Berurah is a paisik achron. But if the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir, you try to be. If you can. It's not too big a hurry, you know, not to make a bracha against the kiluach Meirag Layim.
No, so,
generally, a Mishnah Berurah is equivalent by Klal Yisrael. Now, I'd like. That's right. Okay. There are a lot of svarim that don't bring other svarim. There are many svarim that don't bring other svarim. That doesn't make them an achron. He didn't see my sefer either. It doesn't make me the achron. I wrote a sefer. It doesn't make me the achron. Mishnah Berurah is the Mishnah Berurah. Klal Yisrael accepted the Mishnah. There are a lot of svarim Mishnah Berurah didn't see. They're not all achron. I can make a long list of how many he didn't see. We'll make those later. Let's just one last shaila. There's a nida in the Magen Avraham. It comes from a rush. The Magen Avraham is machmir. I've never seen a mayel who's machmir this way. Magen Avraham is machmir. He says you're allowed to make a bracha facing the erva, but you shouldn't be holding it b'shas ma'isa. The mamish be oichis be'erva. B'shas the b'shas habracha. Obviously, b'shas amil you have to, but b'shas habracha, he says not to. The Mishnah Berurah, it's interesting, brings it and listen to what he says. Mishnah Berurah is in Sifkat and Chav Dalet and Ayin Hey. Kosev Amagen Avram. I believe this is a rush. Mekamakim loyechayis hamayil haerva biyaday b'shas habracha. The Rambam says you shouldn't hold on to it b'shas the bracha. Well, your rabbi master says shekel make kilim. Your master shekel say it's okay. But prima godim kasev da achshav she'em b'kiyim kolkach. Nowadays, I'm not sure what he means. Ein b'kiyim kolkach. We're nervous about the b'kiyus of the mayim. Yesh lachush l'sakana v'yitzutvayis b'yaday. Should be careful. The mayim is going to make the bracha and then grab onto the arla and start doing things in a rush and do it quickly. Let him calmly grab onto the main umnis of the Maisa Hamila is grabbing the arla and pulling it off of the separating it from the aver. So he says, since it will be a sakana yeshlifis biyadei v'gama grabi aradeus imir samachei posak to osalazis kamogin avram. Where's this grah? Also lasses to not hold it. He says why? Where is it? Gralamitches. Ayin barachayim says if dalit. But you should hold it. Ubrash perkel de brachis. Velinira di suraika. Tzarech leches arla b'shashem avarech. Now there is talking about not making a hefsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. So the Gemara is really not saying al tzakana. The Gemara is saying al hefsik, don't make the bracha and then stop hatchkering with the separate. If you want to do it right, it'll be a big hefsik. So lemaisa, that's the way with Nayik. The Mayalim all grab on to the arla at the time that they do the bris. Okay, so this is basically Sivav. So we had, again, a Sivches, rather. Looking at the Erva, certainly Mutta. Grabbing the Erva Lamaisa is Mutta. Cleaning the Tzaya is a Mutav. And then Gebrocha Keneged the Meir Aglayim appears to be Machlaikis, Darach HaShulchan, and the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, Tess. Easy Sif, Avi HaBen, Oimeid, Alamoya, Laidia, Shishluchai. And if some Moyelim announce, Aviyah ben Liyara Sandik, Liyara Moyel. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the father stands by the Moyel to tell him that he's a Shliach. A lot to understand why he was so makbid. He already told him he's a Shliach. That's how he came in the first place. You know, he already told him. So the Gran Mem really gives a makar for the Minig. He says, Shehamila, he dugmas carbon. The mila is like a carbon. The time is, and it says the Gemara, heich karbona. It says there that when you bring a carbon, the bialim stand there. Or at least the mamah, they stand there by the carbon. So dumya to a carbon where the bala carbon stands there, a shliach stands there. So the same thing by the bris of Aviyah ben is liad on
the
sand.
Okay,
wherever he could stand, there were mamada. He said there was Israelim stand. It says I made al hamoyel. What is al hamoyel over him? It's like a very strange. It says he stands over him as opposed to next to him.
Okay.
It's not an idea for
Shluchai.
The idea is stand there to show maybe that he's a Shluchai, to show that you're the Baalim. Sif Yud. Naisnim Esa'arla B'chayel Va'afar. Okay, after a bris mila, the arla, which is cut off, is placed into earth. The mayim should have a little cup with some earth in it, and the arla is placed into the earth. The chein roikikim dam hametzitza el haofar, and similarly, the dam of the metzitza spit onto the offer. It would seem to me this is a raya that the metzitza dam is not just for sakana; that's part of the guf hamitzvah. If the whole reason you do mitzitza and extract dam is for sakana reasons, so why would the Ramah bring a minig to spit the dam of mitzitza into offer? What's the difference? It seems that the dam of the mitzitza is part of the mitzvah, and that's why the dam of mitzitza also should be put into the offer. That's certainly what it seems. Very good question. Why is it a din in kfura? What is the din of the arla? So let me just finish the Ramah and then we'll see. We'll see the Makar. Just the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch ends. If Shabbos, Tzarashay Muchanim Ibayim. If the bris is on Shabbos, you can't go out and take earth. So you have to prepare earth from Friday. It's Muchan for the mitzvah, just like the sugya of the beginning of Beya with Hachana Sofer for Kisei Adam. And there, it's Mutter. What's the Makar for this minig? No, I remember as a boy, a mayol asking me, giving me a cup, and asked me to go out in front of the shul and get some earth and put it into the cup. You know, it's something which is not correct. It's the wrong one. I'm sorry. But the gra brings the source of the minig to cover it with afar. Gra mem aleph. He brings a Pirkei de Rav Elazar Perek Chaf Tes. Listen to what he says. Hayu Yisrael Leichin Esa'arla Vesadam Umechasen Oisei Ba'ofer HaMidbar. In the Midbar, I thought they didn't do Brisson in the Midbar. They took later, so in the first year, they took the dam and the arla, and they covered it with the sand or the earth of the midbar. Ukshabah bilam hakaisem ras kala midbar molei me arlasim shay Yisrael. Amar miuchalamayid b'schus bris damila shemuchus ba'afar shenemar mimana afar Yaakov. Mekan amru mechasen sa'arla v'adam ba'afar ha'aretz. It's unusual the Grosh should bring the whole medrash, but here he brings the medrash that you cover it with earth. We don't really know why, I guess, just because in the Midbar they did it, so we do it as well. Now, the question is, what do you do with it after you cover it with offer? So it's in a cup with offer. What do you do with it now?
Bring it to the Midbar?
So... What? They save them. Someone will save them. That's a nice thing. Yeah. Does it stay? I would think it. Anyway, Rav Pertinsky in the Sefer Abris says on page Shin, he says there's no kpeda. The mitzvah is to put it into offer as a remez. There's no kpeda, but he brings from the Sefer Derech Pikudecha. The Meisasa started writing the Sefer Amitzvahs. He didn't get too far, but he got to. And he writes there that the quote, Mashma lo yashlichenu. It's Mashma, you shouldn't throw away the Arla. So I don't know exactly. I imagine that it doesn't last very long. After a week or two, would it decompose?
I don't know how long it lasts.
It just says lo yashlichenu. It doesn't say what you do with it at the end. Like the nails, you throw in a place where nobody will walk. But the Arla... Maybe I have to ask the Mayalim, I don't know. So if it's a kvura, I guess then you have to put it back. Allah for Toshuv, you mean. It's a form of kvura. The halach is you don't have to bury a living person, Le'aleinu, who has a part of his body removed. There's no halach, there's no din to bury unless it's an aver, sheyesh by etzem, an aver that has an etzem. I remember once there was a reshiva in Tarvadas who had to have a kidney removed. So somebody went around to a few guys to collect for money to bury it. So he asked them, why are you burying it? The kidney is not a Eva Shesh Bayi. So it seems Alpi Kabbalah there's a reason. Then he asked him, why is it costing money? You don't have to put a matzeva or anything. You just go into the backyard and you bury it. So what? No, you have to bury a basic forest. The truth is, Ramesha, one of his tshuvas, writes the minig to bury... The minik to bury an aver comes from Dine Tumas Kayanim, that aver sheish beyetzem is metama, and that's where the minik comes from. He allows leaving it in the hospital. The hospital is going to do testing on it or any type of a system that's not, it's not going to end up mushloch ba'ashba. So Ramesha allows leaving it there. Although there's another tshuva which is a bit of a stira. There's another tshuva where he says to bury it more strongly. But I guess Lapi Halacha is one rule. What? They bury it? They put it in landfills? Where do they put it when they have these special garbage for hazmat garbage? What do they do with it? I don't know exactly. They ship it maybe to Iran or... There are people who do it, but it's not the typical practice. The people I've been involved with, I haven't seen that as a practice. Okay, even though there is such an idea. Anyway, that's the din. Now, what? Well, the Mechaber doesn't bring only Arla. The Ramah brings the Dam. No, it's nothing to do with Mitzvah Dam because it's not a situation where there's a mitzvah. Yiftach, they buried them all over the place. There was Evarim. That's his Evarim. Evarim. Avery, you have to bury. That's it. Avery, you have to bury. The Shal is himself. Tuma. But there's a Zayah that says to bury, which you understand, Tami Kabbalah.
No, so. But then it was only with the Netzah?
says Evarim Evarim. It says Nafsul Evarim Evarim Salshan Kabbalah. Their own. So that's what that's puzzling. Unless it means the first year. The first year they did do. They brought a Korban Pesach the first year because they were Gemalim. So maybe that's what it means. Or maybe the Levim. Levim, you know, us Levim.
The Levim will mount, but that will be all over the
Mitzvah. Still a handful. Yeah. Yeah. All right, there's an interesting tshuva in the Nidah B'Yehuda. Eva Shesh Bayatza. Eva Shesh Bayatza. No, Eva Shesh Bayatza is a tamba oil. I don't know. I don't have a kever. I'm not sure. I don't know. Kvarim, I'm a tamba, but I don't know if kvarim of Eva Shesh Bayatza. I meant Eva Shesh Bayatza, so I'm a tamba again. Okay, the Nidah B'Yehuda has a very interesting tshuva. It's Tinyana Kuf Samach Beis. In Archaim Kuf Samach Beis, I believe the Pesachei Tshuva sends us there. Although it has a different Pesachei Tshuva, but we have this in the paper. Anyway, the Pesachei Tshuva has the following shaila. He has a shaila about... the Pesachei Tshuva is sending a different one. But anyway, he has a shaila. Amoyel was doing a bris on Shabbos. So he cut off the arla. He put it down. He did the priya, the mitzitza. And that was his practice. Afterwards, he picked it up and put it into offer. He's busy. He's not busy with the nir smila. So he cut off the arla. He didn't put it directly into the earth. He put it down the side, finished the mila, and then he would pick it up and put it. So someone timed it to him that it's muktzah. Once you cut off the arla and you put it down, it's muktzah. So the Yehuda was asked, who's right? Is the arla muktzah? Interesting shaila. So Nidah B'Yehuda is done. Well, the Nidah B'Yehuda is done that just like the offer is muchan. What does it mean offer muchan? Who? You pay the offer beforehand. It's muchan for a mitzvah. He says the arla is also muchan for this mitzvah. The arla is muchan for the mitzvah of putting up an offer. Just like the earth is not muksik, you prepared it for this mitzvah. So the arla is implicitly muchan for this mitzvah, and therefore he says that it's not muktzah.
Even though it was attached
going to Shabbos, but it was daitei olav, so to speak.
Part of the whole procedure.
Okay, that's what he said. I just have a ha'ara. I looked when I was learning the siman. I looked in the Aruch HaShulchan. It's of Katan Lamed Beis. He says he brings the Shulchan Aruch even on Shabbos. His lashon is yitein ba'afar kivan sha'oidai biyadai. It's his lashon. Put it in an offer, kivan shayde biyadi. Because there's a rule in muktzah, if you pick something up a heter, that you're allowed to keep on carrying it. Let's say you have a pen on a chair, you need the chair, you're allowed to pick up the pen. You don't, once you pick up the pen, have to throw it down. Once you picked it up a heter, you're allowed to keep on being metaltal it and put it where it belongs. If you picked it up a mistake, be'isr, then it's machlaikis, the gra, and the other achrayim. So after the gra, the other sold, even if you picked it up be'isr, once you picked it up, you could already, by mistake, you could already, sometimes you put you in your pocket, you pull something out, and then you see it's a davar muktzah. So that the Mishnah Berurah brings a machlaikis, if you can keep on being metalkal. But if you started to be metalkal beheter, so that there's no question that you could...
Can you give it to somebody? Can the male give it to somebody?
No, he's not. what? It's a chelik in a mitzvah. Even though it's a medrash source type of mitzvah, it's a shulchan aruch. All right, so lemaisa, I would think that if a moyel could help it, he should do it, and if he can't, then he can.
What's the moyel do with it with the knife?
The knife he drops right away. He prepares a satchel, and right after the meal, he drops the knife into the satchel because he can't keep on holding it during priya, it's not shayach. So they prepare. That's why they always do the bris in the corner of the room, because they usually have their satchel there or anything in which they can drop in the mila knife right after they do the bris.
Then that cup, you cannot move it.
You put the arla. Oh, so you can't move the cup. It's interesting. The Yehuda says once you put it in, it's muktzah. You can't move it afterwards. He says once you put it in offer, he has a very interesting piece. There's a sugya. You all know that iskatzoy lebein hashmashis iskatzoy lekuliyayim. But there's a rule: if something is muktzah bein hashmashis, it's muktzah the whole day. That's a basic rule. The Gemara's case is somebody put raisins on the roof to dry, or rather put grapes on the roof to dry into raisins. If Bein HaShmoshes, they're not edible, even on Shabbos, they become edible. Once it's Muktzeh Bein HaShmoshes, it's Muktzeh the whole day. Same thing with the table, with a candle that's burning. And we assume that if Bein HaShmoshes, the candle is burning, and the everything is Muktzeh, our assumption seems to be that it remains Muktzeh the whole Shabbos. There's a sugi in the Gemara of Yesh Muktzeh L'Chatzi Shabbos, and Masechtas Beya. Question is the reverse. Something is mutter Bein HaShmoshes, and it becomes Muktzeh on Shabbos. Let's say the grapes were edible Bein HaShmoshes. They became non-edible in the middle of Shabbos. And then, well, if not edible, you're not going to ask a shayla. And then later, they become edible. So there's a sugya, we pass an ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, which means this. It means that when it turns to muktzah, that's muktzah. That there's no heter. But ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos means the rule that if the tzayla bein HaShmoshes is muktzah for the whole day, that's only true in the beginning of Shabbos. There's no rule on something that becomes muktzah in middle of Shabbos. Now the Behuda in this tshuva explains that even that there's a rule of muktzah lechatzi Shabbos. So because muktzah middle of Shabbos doesn't have a din of iskatzay lekuliyayma, but he explains, as I explained, that's only if it becomes back usable. If it remains unusable, then it is muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. And therefore, he says the arla that you throw into the earth, it's even though it wasn't muktzah till you threw it into the earth, but it remains muktzah for the rest of Shabbos. He says even though there's a sugi of ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, that's only if it becomes usable again. If there's no use for it, which would be the case in the case of an arla, then what? Shiver kelim is a good example that becomes muktzah similar Shabbos.
So if you have, let's say, a hand towel that going into Shabbos is dry, but a lot of people are
using. So it's very interesting that you talk about this. There's a hand towel that becomes so wet that if you handle it, you'll be avischita, is muktzah. It's muktzah. If it's dry when Shabbos begins, it gets soaked, it falls into water, and then it dries. So when it dries, logically, it's muktzah. It's muktzah. There's no iskatzai lekuliyayim, and that's lamaisa. There's a Mishnah Berura that many achrayim jump on. Mishnah Berura says, if you have a wet, sometimes in camp people... everyone showers with their bathing suits. Remember, in camp is a public shower. You wear your bathing suit. See, afterwards, it's right before Shabbos. You hang the bathing suit up to dry. When Shabbos begins, it's soaking wet. So Mishnah Berurah paskins, it's katzay lekuliyayma. If in the morning it's dry, it's still muktzah. Because kiven this katzay lebein hashmashes, it's katzay lekuliyayma. It sounds very logical. But it's a big problem, this Mishnah Berurah. Nobody really knows pshat. There are tshuvas about it. Mechas Yitzchak has a tshuva about it. Today, with all the muktzah svarim, I'm sure they all talk about it. Why? Because I'll ask you a question. If when Shabbos begins, the potato in your cholent is raw, is that as katzai for the whole day? How are you allowed to eat the potato the next day? Why don't you say it's katzai l'kulis katzai l'kuliyayma? The answer is that there's a concept of gomrei bidei adam. Something that's in the hands of a person to make edible, you put it on a fire, it's going to become edible. Gomri bidei adam. So that's a gemara. The grapes are the rule for gomri bidei shemayim. Because if it's not going to be a sunny day, they're not going to become edible. So he says, katzai l'kuliyayim. But something that bein hashmoshes is gomri bidei adam. Bidei adam means that it's in the control of a person, b'derech hateva, that it should change. So such a thing is... we don't say it's katzai l'kuliyayim. It would seem that if you hang up a bathing suit or a towel to dry, so it could be if you hang it up outside, so if it'll rain, then you're right, the Mishru is right. But if you hang it up at a place where, b'derech hateva, you hang it up on a porch or in a bathroom, where it's going to dry, it's very hard to understand why the Mishnah Berurah is soisim that it's katzai l'kuliyayim, that it's muktzah for the whole day. And we're really not sure in pshat. There is a Rabbi Chanan, the Kavit Shur Mambeya. He doesn't bring the Mishnah Berurah, but he talks about, he makes an interesting geder to Gomri Bidei Adam, which might answer this, but it's not a halacha, it doesn't fit with the Paiskin. In the beginning of the second parak in Be'ah. But as things Lamaisa, the Lamaisa of it is this. We have a rule. It's only Muktzah for the whole Shabbos if, A, it was Muktzah Bein HaShmoshes, and, B, it's not Gomri Bidei Adam. You're not certain that it's going to become usable. Then we say it's Katzai L'Kuliyayma. If either it wasn't Muktzah Bein HaShmoshes, or it's Gomri Bidei Adam, so then as long as at the time you use it, it's usable, then it's not muktzah. In the case of the arlo, which didn't become usable, it should be iskatzai for the rest of Shabbos.
Instead, you start cooking, it has to be a certain level.
It doesn't. If you have a blech, it doesn't. Everyone thinks this. Ramesha calls it minig b'nais Yisrael. Everyone thinks that bein hashvashis, the food has to be edible. All the ladies assume that bein hashvashis, it's got to be edible. That's right. It's a good minig to do, because the ladies, before the crock pots, remember, they used to pick up the pot, they used to move it away from the fire, it's going to burn, towards the fire. It was like a ritual that went from mother to daughter to granddaughter. You know, you move it a little away, you move it a little closer. With the crock pots, today's generation doesn't know this. You could put raw food to cook on Shabbos if you have a blech. If you have no blech, you don't need a blech if you have to cook food. You can put it in the crack pot. Just have to be careful not to cover it and uncover it on Shabbos till it's fully cooked. But you're allowed to put it. Ramesha calls it the Minig B'nais Yisrael, which, you know, we have this thing that we try to stick with the Minig B'nais Yisrael, especially because they don't let us do differently. Babu says for not needing a blech. Without a blech, so you're allowed to, if it's not Minig B'nais, you're allowed to put it without a blech. I once had... It was Pesach, Shabbos Pesach. And my wife realized we don't have a blech. Because the last year we took the Pesach blech and already used it for all year. We had no blech. I told my wife, no problem. It's edible. We can put it without a blech. She looked at me like I was a shagetz. She started calling the neighbors, you know, to find somebody who had an extra blech. But that's the... What? Yeah, if you put a wet cloth into the dryer, it's okay. No matter what, it's gomri bidei adam, as long as the setting is a setting that would cause it to dry, and it's mutter. We don't know pshat mishnah berurah. Mishnah berurah must be talking. Avshamilsa, that's called. Okay. There's a sugya in Shabbos, in Ilchos Shabbos, a sugya called Avshamilsa. It's a short Gemara. Gemara says that before Shabbos, you shouldn't load your meal with grain, and then it'll keep on, it'll go, you know, it'll meal on Shabbos. Avshamilsa. Avshamilsa means it's not a Shabbos dick of noise. The machine is going. So the question is whether you can let a dryer run because of Avshamilsa. So there are really two parts to the answer. Now, first of all, we don't paskin the chumra of Avshamilsa, only Tov L'Hachmer. But that's so, Tov L'Hachmer would still be Machmer. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, Avshamilsa is only if the noise is heard into the next room. I guess it depends on the circumstances. He says, Avshamilsa is only the noise is heard. Okay, there could be situations with Avshamilsa. There's also, you have to remember, it's a Tov L'Hachmir, and you're a Beinu Tamsman, you know, usually the dryer will run for half an hour. So for Avshamilsa, which is a Chumra, you can rely on a Beinu Tamsman. It comes outside, it's true. It's true. No, but our air conditioner, everybody knows, not Avshamilsa, everyone knows. It runs, the air refrigerator runs, the oven runs. There's no Avshamilsa, it's not Shabbos dick, because people know it runs. The Avshamilsa is something which does malacha. Now, nothing about Avshamilsa. He's not makbid not to let air conditioner run. Makbid is Shabbos clocks. I don't use Shabbos clocks, I use air conditioning. You just let it run, and that's it. Okay, we move on to Sifyat Aleph. Oh, we're getting into the real stuff. Noyegin lases kisei le'Eliyo. We have a minig to make a seat for Eliyo Hanavi. Shenikra malach habris. Ukeshaminicha yoyimra bepiv shu kisei Eliyo. This is a din of Shulchan Aruch. When the mayel gets up, minhazeh kisei shel Eliyo, zachor latayv, that nusach is a Shulchan Aruch here. It's part of the minig brought here in Shulchan Aruch to say bepeh zeh kisei shel Eliyahu zachor latayv. Why? Again, the Gra in Mem Gimel goes out of his regular practice and brings the whole nusach of a medrash. The Gra Mem Gimel noyegin bepirkei d'oraos hasham kach hoy Yisrael noyegin lamul ad shenechleku l'shnei mamlochos. Klai Yisrael were very careful in Bris Mila until the split of the southern and northern kingdoms, Yehuda and Ephraim. And Machzefrayim were not careful to do Bris Mila. And Eliyahu was a kanoi nishba ala shemayim shloi lohir etalumat al aretz. So we learn usually it's because of avodah zara.
Right.
He says bris milah was part of that. B'shama izevel b'kshamari gaisai omer Eliyahu ubarach b'chulu niglav hakadosh baruch hu v'amla malacha apay Eliyahu. That's a pasuk. Omer kai kanoi kanisi omer hakadosh baruch hu. Now Tilly is a pasuk. Omer hakadosh baruch hu loy lomar to mekane kines kina b'shitim al gilei arayis shenemar Pinchas ben Aaron. Says over there he was a kana. Pinchas ben Elazar, I mean. V'kan ata v'kana chayecha she'ein Yisrael oisim bris milah at she'ata raya be'einecha. Now if this is a schar or an einish, how do you understand it? It's a, I think it's maybe it's a schar, you know. You get to go to every bris. V'kan iskinu chachamim she'u oisim moishav. He says it's a takonis chachamim. She'u oisim moishav kovid l'malach habris she'nemar ha'malach bris ashetem chafetzim bo. So it says that it's a takonis chachamim to make a seat for Eliyahu HaNavi at every bris milah. Now, is that seat the same seat as the Sandik? Or is it a separate seat? So, you know that the minig is separate seat. Aruch HaShulchan says it's the same seat. That Eliyahu, that he should sit in the same seat. Peretinsky in his Sefer HaBris brings Yesh Nagin not that way, which you all see. He says that's why in some places they have a minig, they make a double seat. They go to both sheetahs. That Eliyahu and the Sandik, there's enough room. I don't know how much room Eliyahu takes up on the seat. There's enough room for the symbolic seat of Eliyahu and the seat of the Sandik, so that what? Not to sit where Malachim sit. A Malach, yeah, it's a symbolic thing that. Why they put the baby on the seat? I don't know. It doesn't say it. Maybe you're putting him in Elio's lap symbolically. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Should I tell you? If you listen to the tapes, I think it was once taught. Yeah, I think it was once taught. The Perikut Tes, I think it is, in Malachim Beis. Now, what?
We don't find this anywhere. The Bama is, the Shemrim and
the... I can't answer. It's a Perikut Olaz. What are you going to do? The Mayil says to Eliyahu HaNavi, says, Amoid al Yamini v'samcheni. He says to Eliyahu HaNavi, stay next to me and give me a hand. So Rav Schwab asks that the halach is now daven to a malach. Now daven to a malach to help you. So the whole tumult about the tefillahs to malachim. So Schwab answers, Eliyahu le'meis. Eliyahu's not a malach, he's a tzaddik, he's Talmud Chacham. You don't tell Talmud Chacham, yeah, give me a hand. Right? Because Eliyahu never died. So Amayr Ayyamin Yisam Cheni, you're talking to a tzaddik. That's a good question. Well, we're asking him to turn into a person and give us a hand.
He can sit, right?
What? He could sit, I don't know. I think it's obviously symbolic, the sitting. Eliyahu Malach HaBris. Okay, he's a Talmud Chacham who's a Malach HaBris. Malachim Amish could be, and Malachim could be people. It's interesting, there was once a very fascinating a tshuva. It's a sefer we have in the yeshiva, I'm forgetting the name. Somebody once gave a hesped on the death of Rav Baruch Epstein, the Baal Torah Tamima. It was printed up in the Yiddish newspaper here in New York. So Rav Baruch Epstein sent him a letter telling him that he's very much alive, but he appreciated the hesped. It was nice hesped. So he wrote him back. He wrote him back. He said he had children himself. He said, the newspaper said that you died. You know, like, are you sure? You know, the newspaper said you died. So I gave a hesped. And he told him, don't feel bad. They once did it about me also. That's the letter. There's a letter back from Baruch Epstein. Very interesting letter. He says, the newspaper said, Baruch Epstein, Zichrono Livracha. So where does it say I died? Zichrono Livracha, where do you find it? By Eliyahu HaNavi. He didn't die. He's not dead. So why does Zal, or Zatal, why does that mean he's dead? Zechrono Levracha could mean that he's very much alive. That's what he wrote back in the letter. What?
It says
all of a shalom. It says all of a shalom. I think it says Erech Vars Mishkavai, and you can take, look it up.
You learn it from Avraham Avinu.
Zechat Tzadik Levracha. Okay, that's a living tzadik. Gam Chervai Mezachul Atay. Very good. He's also alive at the time. When Shesheret Yaakov was written, was he alive? I don't know. But don't start calling people Zechrono Levracha. They're not going to appreciate it. Oh, you have to get the tape. We gave him Navishir. It's a Mishnah Melech. Okay. Reshma is given out. Reshma is Chelik Pes. It's in the Chelik. No. It's not Chelik Pes. What? B'churi l'shalom? Oh, that's right. We say to the malachim, b'churi l'shalom, malachi l'shalom. That's a good question. I don't know. Then why didn't think of it? Okay, so that's the Kisei Shel Eliyahu piece. I should mention, the Gra brings a medrash, the Sefarnoi brings a different reason. Beginning of Parshas Vayera, he says the reason of Kisei Eliyahu, he says to make a bris, you need both sides to be present. What's a bris? It's a covenant. It's an agreement between two sides. So he says at the beginning of Vayera, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu, that's considered a bris. Rashi says, Levakar Zachayla. The Sefarno says, no, he just did a bris milah. So for a bris, you need Shtei Tzadim. So he says, that's why the Rabbani Shalom came. It's interesting. He says, V'chein, when Moshe was Mal's son, says, V'yifkesheu b'malayim. Which we learn a whole different story, V'yifkesheu b'malayim. He says, also, you need both sides should be there. So you have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu to symbolically show that the Rabbi Shalom Shliach is attending the bris, and it's a bris. Beit Shnei Hatzadim. Okay, the Ramah here talks about Sandakos. Nayagin Lahader Achar Mitzvazu Liyay Sandak Litvay Satidik Lamayalai. It's a minik to try to get this mitzvah, to grab it, to hold the tinnik, and to do the bris milah. I once tainted to Rav Palm. I didn't quite say this lashon, but I felt that Rav Palm tries to keep everything in Shulchan Aruch except for this line. Because when a young man would offer him sandikos, Rav Palm would always ask him, is there a zayda that she gets sandikos? An elta zayda, she gets sandikos first. And he would push it off. He would tell him, you know, by the third child, I'll be sandik. You know that by me? So give it to one Zayda, give it to the other Zayda. So the third child, Rav Palm was a Sandik. So I once asked Rav Palm, you know, Shulchan Aruch, it says, you're supposed to try for the mitzvah. So he didn't really answer me, but I think because of Shalom, he was worried that, you know, that the Shalom of the family has Kedima to this Nayagin. He could take it, then there won't be a fight. There won't be a fight. Okay. The
pushing the fight off to the next one.
It's also good. You push it off. Now the minhagim of the sandik and the pischei tshuva yud gimel brings naigin lasati petalis. We all know this. The sandik is admitting he wears a talis or even tefillin. He says, "I'm a shari tshuva barachayim yudches sekatan dalit shkatsri knesek daila lefi haminig." Shalaylu bish talis b'tisha b'av shachris, our minig that we don't put on a talis tisha b'av morning. Gam l'tzarech liyasadik l'milo lo yul bish talis. Shachuvah says not to wear it. Umakamak I'm reisi on tisha b'av. What I say? I'm sorry. Talis b'tisha b'av shachris. Gam l'tzarech liyasadik l'milo lo yul bish talis. Umakamak I'm reisi sadik echad lavash ubeirach v'loy mechisi biyadai. I saw a sign. He did put on a talis. He made a bracha l'sateif. Why mechisi biyada? It's not an aveira. It's
a meaning not to.
They should make in the afternoon. There's no reason to push it off. Now, the other minhagim of the sandik are brought in the Beis Hillel. Although in our prints it's on the previous page, the Beis Hillel brings a minig kosam ariel about 7-8 lines from the bottom. Kosam ariel behilchas milas. I'll show you my resegel. Shenase kishenase. Balbris, Bukhari Sandik, Vlosha Chachamim. The word Balbris is a Sandik. Hoyenoig Lirchaitz, Velitval Asatzmai, Velahakas Atina Batara Labris. Vamar God Lemitzis Balbris, Mimitzis Hamayel. Look at that. It's bigger the mitzvah of the Sandik than the Mayel. So he brings a minik to go to the mikveh. This is a common minik, that to go to the mikveh for a sandik before he's a sandik, to go the Beis Hillel, which in my print is the page before. He brings this minik to go to the mikveh. So this I mentioned to you in the past, my suffix, what it means a minik to go to the to go to the mikveh. If it means a minik to go to the mikveh. To go to mikveh taisis kedusha, period, or a minik to go, so you shouldn't be a balkari. Someone's a balkari, so I understand he has to go to mikveh. He shouldn't be a balkari. What happens is someone's not a balkari. He went to the mikveh, and a day later he's invited to be a sandik. Well, what happens if somebody's offered a sandik on Shabbos morning and he's not ready to be tovel on Shabbos? So go to the mikveh or Shabbos. Is that adequate? So I don't know. I think I mentioned to you that I was once at a Ksiva Sefer Torah. At the Skvera Beis Medrash in Lakewood. And afterwards, I asked the Skvera Rebbe, they had a sign about Ksiva Sefer Torah, if you don't go to the mikveh, you shouldn't ride ice. So I asked the Rebbe, does that mean went to the mikveh today? Or does that mean that the last time you were about Keri, you went to the mikveh? So he said, I'm not sure. One thing I know, that even if you're not about Keri, you go to the mikveh, it's Mice of Kedusha. There's such a thing as Tais Kedusha. It's not meaningless. What this minig is, he said he doesn't know exactly. So same thing with the sandik. No, your brother wasn't there for Ksiva size. I came later. It was my brother-in-law is the Rav there in the
shul.
But so we're going to have that in the Rambag. We'll have that next week. The Rambag continues it. The minig of not being a sandik twice. So we'll continue sandik kosis if you're out.